All right, all right. Good morning, y'all. This is your brother, Aaron Ammons, a.k.a. Brother A-Dub. We are in the house, 90.1 FM on your listening dial. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers. They do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated. And y'all know how we get down around here. What I say, charge it to me, charge it to my heart, not to WEFT. In the house with me, I have my young protege who is following me around or hanging out with me, not following me around. He's hanging out with me in different locations. Talk to him, brother.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is Yemi. Just here again to bless y'all with another week of my presence. So,
and so, Yemi, you have some... wait a minute. All right, and so... I'm going to have a special guest is going to call in at 217-359-5483, or you can try 217-359-6545. My special guest this morning is going to be Champagne's own Gene Hicks, a.k.a. G the Man from Payne Family. And, when he gets a chance to, I'm sure he's going to call in on that line, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. And so you know how we do it down here. Sometimes your guests call your cell phone and you got to tell them, you know, the other number to call in, right? So listen, we are in our pledge drive. I want to make sure people are aware of that. Last week, we had a phenomenal time, and we got in over $500 during the two-hour span that we were on the air. And I'm encouraging you all to let's match that this morning. We need another $500 from the higher ground so we can continue our totals going up to the $20,000, and then the $30,000 mark that we have for WEFT. You all know the programming that you get down here, how valuable it is, how important it is. And right now, it looks like as of Friday at 1:45 p.m., we were at $16,865. And so we're asking you to help take us to a $17,365 mark. So for the first hour, we needed $250 worth of pledges to come in. So those of you who are rolling over, getting your caffeine, your nicotine, or your THC, whatever it may be that you need to get yourself going this morning, I want you to think about... think about how wonderful WEFT is, what it means to our community, and how you can continue to support it with your pledge of $5, $10, $20, $90 and 10 cent, $500. Hey, I'll take a $500 pledge and let's just go ahead and get it over with right now.
I'll take a $500 pledge too. Yeah.
So Yemi, we've got a couple of different things that are going on in the community. Lots of different announcements that we could make. Is there anything in particular going on campus or anything that's going on that you think the people should know about?
Well, it was a great week for primary voting. Definitely. A lot of students showed up to vote. It was great to see Bernie Sanders take the win for the Democratic Party, but it was a kind of a solemn feeling not seeing him take their overall Illinois lead on that. I think it was 51-49, but it was tough. It was tough. But it's good to see that the Champaign voters got out there for the students. They did their part. Now let's just see. We got to wait till November.
So there was quite a turnout on campus. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. The Illini Union had like a line it was a 2-hour wait to get a vote in at the Union. The YMCA had a lot of traffic, too, going around there. It was great to see that. And, just good to see students taking initiative in voting.
And so you're saying that the students were in line for 2 hours?
I mean, 2 hours. 2 hours. I haven't seen students wait for 2 hours for nothing in school. They don't even wait 2 hours for food, you know?
Most definitely.
But it was great, though. It was great. At the Illini Union, the lines closed at 7 o'clock, but there was still an hour wait after that just to get your vote in.
The vote totals, from what I understand, won't be complete until Tuesday. The Champaign County clerk will announce the final results no later than Tuesday. So there are some results that may change. There was a lot of precinct committeemen who were elected, and sometimes, depending on the number of votes that are still out there, those could change if you won by 10 votes or 5 votes or 20 votes. If you if 21 votes come in any other direction, then you won't hold that seat. And these are the late votes that were the people who were in line up until 9 o'clock or something like that. This is absentee ballots and stuff that still have to come in the mail and that type of thing. So, you know, there's still some final official tallies that have to take place. It's not just they called these elections, but it doesn't mean that all the votes are actually completely counted as of yet, you know. Yeah. But I was certainly inspired and deeply moved by the turnout of the students on campus. There was a lot of work, and I think there's a lot of energy being generated by Bernie Sanders, but I think there's also a lot of anti-Trump motivation as well. Well, you want to speak to that,
man? Everyone hates Trump. I mean, if you are in,
well, not everybody. A bunch of people voting for him.
A bunch of people. Yeah, it's just surprising. But I can tell you from my experience in class, not a lot of kids are feeling for Trump's presidency at all.
Do you think that's what's motivating people to go?
Oh, definitely. This is the most students I've ever heard talking about politics in my life.
And so the majority of those conversations were anti-Trump conversations.
Anti-Trump, pro-Bernie.
Okay, all right. So the two factors combined drove that turnout on campus in particular.
Definitely. It was a 5-hour wait just to get in the gym. People were out there since 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, you're talking about when Bernie came?
When Bernie came this past weekend. Yes.
Wow. Oh, no. That was when I left I think I had dropped you off.
Yeah.
And I went and rode around, and I was like, the line was wrapped around all the way to Kirby Avenue then. And then later on, people said it had wrapped almost around the entire Memorial Stadium, people trying to get in. And we could only get, I think, 4,500 people total
inside the gym.
I think there was 3,000 or 3,500 in the gym, right, that could fit in the gym. And then there was another overflow gym with no jumbotrons or nothing,
but they were just
simply listening.
Oh, that's powerful.
Right, just simply listening. And people had come from a lot of different places. And it was amazing. Carol was there. State Representative Ammons was she was the opening speaker at the rally, in fact. And she did an amazing job. And the people were just so charged up and even super excited for her, because she also ran a very similar campaign, you know, against the structure and the power structure and defeating the power structure. And it was a grassroots campaign like what Bernie is building. And so my mom was there, and Amir, my son, Miss Clark, Jermaine Light, who had one of her dreams come true, get to hang out and see Bernie and give him a big hug and take pictures with him. And there was another young lady, Brianna Donald, the ninth grader.
14-year-old?
Yeah, 14? And she's out there getting it in for Bernie. And also she had her dreams come true, because she was able to meet him hug him and all
That's
that
awesome.
Kind of different stuff. It is on so many different levels to have that experience. And I wanted to send a shout out to my mom, because while we were sitting there, and this is a very heartfelt piece for me, you know, because, you know, we've all had our struggles with our parents and stuff like that.
Definitely.
And my mom and I have had our struggles over the years, mainly for me bucking the system and her not wanting to follow. But, you know, she said to me as we were sitting in the sort of press area waiting for the rally to start, she just gave me a hug and she was in tears. And she said, "I just can't take it no more. I just got to tell you." And she was crying. I was like, "What's wrong?" She said, "I just, I'm so overwhelmed to see where you are now from where you were."
Yeah.
"And that, you know, I cannot overlook that I was walking behind you as the Secret Service was walking you to the area where you would meet the possible next president of the United States. And I, as opposed to walking behind your casket or watching some guards escort you to your cell, because that's the road that I was on before."
Yeah.
She said, "I remember you talking about them boys saying, you know, take him to the alley and kill him when I got robbed and stuck up in Chicago, and all the concerns and the sleepless nights and the pain and fret that she had about the life that I was living before. And to see the 180, the 180 degree turn, it was just overwhelming to her, and it was deeply moving for me. Helped heal some scars and stuff like that from the past that we had. So I'm just giving my shout out to my wonderful, amazing mother.
That's awesome.
Evangelist Valerie Ammons. I love you, mama. So,
hey,
yeah,
I'm gonna shout out to my mom too.
Go for it.
Cause I hope my mom's listening. I told her last minute that I'd be on. All so right. I hope she's listening right now. So shout out to my mom. I hope she's listening. And, a similar story, you know, I've done some not so things I'm proud of, you know, through college and through growing up, and she's always stuck by me and just taught me the right way not to go astray. And, I'm just happy that she loves me unconditionally. And she, you know, she's stuck by me. She's told me the right way to live. And I'm here now and I'm doing great things and I'm happy to be here.
And I'm glad you're here, yeah. Brother. Glad you're Thank here. You. So everybody who's listening out there this morning, it's our show. It's the community show. This is Higher Ground with your host, Brother Aaron Ammons, a.k.a. Brother A-Dub, and my co-host now, Brother Yemi Sosina. And the Sister Carol will probably be calling in at some point. But I want to let you know that you all can contribute or certainly contribute to WEFT with your pledges and your donations. I certainly would be appreciative of any calls that come in this morning for pledges and donations. You would call 217-359-9338. And we'll do the best we can to at least write your name down. Excuse me. I don't have the team down here that we had last time with Dave awesome Johnson and Sandra Otten. But so we can do the best we can to take your information and pass it on. And also you can call us live at 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. And Yemi, a lot of people say, look, it's a local radio station. Why are you giving the area code? Because we're also streaming online at weft.org.
Yes.
That's weft.org. And you can click on Listen Live and join the conversation. So if you're in Mississippi, you're in Alabama, you're in Tennessee, I'm calling out the places where my sisters and relatives are, and they're supposed to be listening.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, they're supposed to be.
So they can call in as well at these other area, so they would need the area code to make those calls. So 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545 is the live call in, and we are ready to take your calls, your contributions, your questions, whatever they may be. So usually I have a whole list of things. I do want to say a little bit about the gentleman who's going to be calling in at about 8:30, yeah. Gene Hicks, a.k.a. Jeter Man. So we grew up out in the Dobbins Downs area when I first moved here. Gene was one of the first people that I met. And this was, of course, during the early 80s. We moved here in like 83, 84, somewhere in that realm. And, of course, that was the height of breakdance and Beat Street and all that kind of different stuff. And Gene Hicks was a member of the Twin City Breakers. So he was doing his popping and locking and stuff like that. And then over the years, he grew into doing a lot of hip hop and making music and stuff. And actually, when my cousin moved here with me, Jock, he joined the group and they created a group called Pain Family. And they made a couple albums together, a few videos and stuff like that. You know, independent type of stuff. Never okay. a big market deal or a big record deal or something
some
like
local
that.
Things.
Yeah, some All local right. things. And, you know... But Gene always had a passion for this, and he was one of those people who he didn't allow people to quell his passion or his dreams. And so he's been working on this ever since he left here. He's up in Bolingbrook, Illinois now, and he's doing a wonderful thing. He's taken all his talents, his martial arts and his dancing skills and his love for hip hop, and turned it into something called Hip Hop Fit. And so now he's using hip hop to save lives through dancing. And so he's going to be our guest this morning because there's going to be an event this evening for called Hip Hop Fit with Gene Hicks. And it's hosted at the Boys and Girls Club over on Park Street. But it's also Carol Ammons is actually State Representative Ammons actually is hosting the event. She's bringing Gene in as a way to support Gene and for her to get support as well. And but also to get the information out and get something positive and something fun and yeah. positive happening in the community. So that's going to be tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. Boys Club. I don't know. I always say Boys and Girls Club. Right there on Park Street. In the corner of Park and Second and Park Street. So be sure to come out, get there early, It is $15 to take the class, right? To be in the class for today. So it's a contribution that would be appreciated. So come on out, have a good time, have some fun, dance a little bit. But he takes hip hop, the latest club music and stuff, and creates dance routines to it. So I'm gonna be out there getting my.
I heard he's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And I'm gonna be out there getting mine in too for at least one song. So Yemi, you coming?
If everyone can see my face right now, I'd be laughing.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well. All right. So there's some. There was some local elections that we should also announce some of the victories locally. One of the people that, like you said, Bernie did win Champaign mm-hmm. County, yeah. and he won convincingly, and I was happy of that to see that. And of course, I'm sure he won the 103rd district overwhelmingly. And so we're going to tease out some of those numbers. I believe that the former state representative of the 103rd district, Naomi Jacobson, was the top vote getter for the delegates for Bernie Sanders. I think she had something like 14,000 votes.
Yeah, 14,000. I think you were.
And then I was second with a little over 12,000 votes. And then it sort of went down from there. I think Matt Pasquini or some of the other people had around 10 mm-hmm. or 9,000.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody who supported me and supported the delegates for Bernie. You know, it was tremendous. It was a interesting historical moment for a husband and wife to be on the same ballot, you know, in 1 year. And, I mean, at the same year.
Walking around school, they're like, hey, yeah, Carol and Aaron, they're so cool. we're going to vote for them right now. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm very excited about that. I'm looking forward to being able to go to Philly and cast my vote for Senator Sanders, hopefully President Bernie Sanders in Philadelphia in July. So also, shout out to Brother James Tinsley. Well, let me do this correctly. Shout out to Brother Lloyd Carter, who has served the community, in particular the African-American community, as an electrician, I believe he was once the president of the NAACP, as a county board member, on so many different levels, as a mentor, as a father, as a grandfather. He has served in an honorable way his community, and I give major shout out to Mr. Carter for everything that he has done. We wish him the best. We hope that in his as he's going through some things with his health, that he has a quality years of life left ahead of him, and we thank him from the depth of our hearts for his service. And to that end, and in that vein, I give a shout out to young brother James Tinsley, who stepped up and did actually win the election against Mr. Carter. He won in a very, I feel like, not just honorable, but classy way. You know, nobody's trashing anybody through the process. It's a simple transition from a man who has served honorably and set the bar high to another young man who's come along and said, I want to take and build on what you have accomplished and bring what I can to the table. So shout out to Brother James Tinsley, who will now he will be representing the Democratic Party in the November elections. He does have an opponent, but we look forward to getting out and working on his behalf to make sure that he can represent the people of County Board District 11 as we move forward in years to come. In other contested races, Steve Summers won. He beat Astrid Bergson. Who else won? Who else had a contested race? I don't think Kyle Patterson or Matt Duco or Josh. No, any of them had.
Yeah, they won convincingly, I believe.
Yeah, because there was no contested race there. I was just kind of speaking to the contested races. Am I missing one? Oh, Tammy Duckworth won. Yes. She will be the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate. That was an overwhelming support for her here. and some other folks who won as well. So, so listen, it's important. We want to continue and we've been doing a lot of work, in the African American community to raise our involvement as a whole. And, the Breakfast Club in particular has been doing a lot of work around that, along with State Representative Ammons to really convey to the community, especially African American community, the importance of them, of us getting out to vote in primary elections, in municipal elections, school board elections, you know, to make your vote, your voice, and make them be heard, you know, and to make sure that you're being recognized as a community. And so a 30% turnout in CC1 was historical. It was the first time it's ever reached that that height. Wow. And so in a primary election. So great work to everybody, and big shout out to everybody who came out to vote. The live remote, they said, was pretty effective. 105.5, being able to catch people who were listening and say, oh, wait a minute, I got to get over here to the polls, yeah, and rush to their polling location. So we appreciate everybody who participated in that. Matt Duco, James Tinsley, of course, the state representative, Carol Ammons, who hosted that and who pulled it together. The Breakfast Club, Kyle Patterson, some of those folks who participated in that. So you were telling me about a radio station that you all have on campus.
Pizza FM.
Yeah, Pizza FM. So does anyone cover the local politics through Pizza FM or anything like that?
Not yet.
Not yet?
We might see. I might be on there pretty soon. You don't know. All right. But yeah, they cover mostly music, underground music, and just student government things that go on. Mm-hmm. But not really. They don't get too deep into politics.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you should also, I'm going to introduce you to Joe Stovall. He's actually a State Farm agent here locally, but he has Talking Sports on WBCP 1580, the locally owned, African-American locally owned radio station. Oh, yeah. It's an AM station, but he was just on yesterday. So he's on Fridays, I think, from 2 to 3. It's an hour long show. But you should connect with him. I know you like Talking Sports, right? Yeah. Absolutely. So you happy that Michigan State got pushed out already in the first round?
Oh, man, that was awesome. I enjoyed that, watching that game last night. Middle Tennessee played with so much heart. They need to make their free throws, though.
Yeah. I mean, but I was certainly shocked to see Michigan State get pushed out, and Purdue was out. Of course, Illinois didn't make it in the big dance and all. So the Big Ten is not boding well at this particular point.
Our school has got some bad news this week, too.
Wow. Oof, so that's that three players now?
Three players in just one season. Suspended indefinitely. So
were all three of them domestic battery?
Two of them were domestic battery.
The other one was the guy pulled a knife or something on the bouncer.
Yeah, he pulled a knife on a bouncer at the bar. Just irresponsible. Another one was off season. They were in out of the country and vandalism things, you know.
Okay.
Just very distraught this week. It's been a bad week for Illinois basketball.
Yeah. All that in overshadowed by Lovie Smith.
That kind of overshadowed Lovie Smith because he got welcomed to the fans of Illinois this past Friday at Memorial Stadium. They had a banquet for him. And not too long after the banquet, you know, you're getting news about players, you know, going to jail.
Joe kind of spoke to some of those things and about what are reasonable expectations and what are unreasonable on athletes and stuff like that. So we're going to hook you up with Joe so you can maybe do Talking Sports with him next Friday or something and see, just get you baptized over on 15.
I'd be grateful for that. Right. Yeah.
So listen, you all, we still want to hear from you. 217-359-5483. 217-359-6545. If you have something that you want to discuss, something that you think we need to chop it up about, here's your opportunity to give us a call live on the air. You can ask your question or make your statement to strike up a conversation. We're looking forward to having our guest come on here in a few minutes. I'm going to play a little bit of music here at this point from the guest who's going to be coming on, who's going to be calling here in a few minutes. And then we're going to just take a quick break. I think I got it up here. Talk to him, Yemi, while I find it.
Yeah, but it'd be good to see you all come out and see Gene Hicks tonight at the from 6 to 7. Get your dance on. I heard he's a pretty good instructor. A lot of testimonies from people just losing lots of weight. Testimonies from 25 pounds, 75 pounds. You know, people just getting in shape. They're having so much fun.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, so you want y'all to check him out. Here's a little bit of taste of Gene Hicks. This is called The Revenue Master. This is called The Revenue. It's a master radio edit. Once I get it geared up here, anyway.
You got it?
I think so.
I'm on the mission every day of living lavish. I'm a chaser for the cattle, setting out to seek my habit like I had it. Trying to grab it, I'm at it to win it. Never lazy and never finished. My eyes is hazy, smoking that crazy. Give me a minute, I'm coming to get it. Real nigga know how I did it. I'm wearing a fitted. No teams, just rep my city. I'm sort of committed. Too many riders, too many givers. It's written the scriptures. Stay up on money, I saw the picture. I'm heavy with hitters. Head choppers and go getters. No fucking with quitters. Scared nigga can't bring a menace. I'm open for business. Never close, I stay replenished. My hustle game is tight, might as well say I'm the winner. I'm hotter than dinner. If we go, I believe a manner. No doubt, I be the center. This is something that I gotta do. Stack it up, get no fluff. Build my whole team up. Live the life of dreams, cause I do it all for the revenue. Casting checks, jazz. We got cha cha choppers on dead, dead. We spot by swatching iron, soaking wet, wet. He nah, nah, now here with us, show respect, yeah. I get that money, homes, and I don't play no games. I own a bunch of homes, white people money, man. They even trying to understand, but when this nigga came, they don't know who to blame, but this nigga doing his thing. Cause he's a baller, you can tell it. He ain't even gotta sell it. Money stronger, you can smell it. Soft niggas be getting jealous. I just send it through the mail and change their mind or something like telling anybody someone smell it. And now I'm prone to whipping on something chrome and smoking until it's gone and party until dawn and spending my money wrong and stuffing it up and throwing shaking dice up in the room, popping bottles and singing songs.
All right, all right. We are back and expecting a call from Mr. Hicks here any moment now, and then we will we'll continue in the conversation. But that's a little bit of taste of one of his the latest songs that he's done. That he has, he does the production, does the mastering, does everything himself, and he has learned a lot over the past 15 to 20 years of his work as an artist. And you'll hear more from him in a few moments when he does call in. So Yemi, you from that young crowd, you know, you like that track?
It's pretty good. The beat was nice. Yeah. That was definitely nice. It got me interested in what he had to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what the track's supposed to do. I think I need some music like that behind my voice when I'm down here getting it in. So, what other announcement do we have for today? I'm trying to think of it. Is there something else that I know is going on and I can't remember what it is? Mm. I guess I can announce again, 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, Hip Hop Fit at the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club on the corner of 2nd and Park Street. Yours truly will be in the house for sure, getting my Dougie on, doing the nay-nay or whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And Gene Hicks will be the instructor for Hip Hop Fit. State Representative Carol Ammons is presenting this. She's hosting this. The class starts at 6 p.m. We want to see you there. So, Yemi, talk to him for a minute. I got to see where my guest at.
Let's get some pledges today too. I haven't heard the phones ring yet. But after Dream comes on, let's get some pledges. But besides that, just the environment around campus this week was pretty great. Seeing people out to vote, seeing people representing wearing Bernie. Even if you're representing Bernie or Clinton or whoever, you just saw people wearing their shirts. So much pride, you know. It's good to see students taking initiative. That's been pretty great. Been pretty great around campus. Besides past years when students don't show up to vote at all,
mm-hmm.
Or no one even talks about it. You know, you saw young Democrats, the Illini Democrats, people just talking about it. You saw people just volunteering, getting people to vote. I even did a little volunteering myself, getting people out to
absolutely
vote.
Absolutely,
that was great.
All right, go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
All right.
Gene Hicks.
All right.
What's going on, Gita? How you feeling, brother?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Everything is wonderful down here. It's a little chilly, but it's going to get a little warmer about 5:30, 6 o'clock when we start getting that boogie on over at the Boys Club.
Yeah, right.
Yes, indeed. So listen, I played a little taste of the revenue. I talked a little bit about your time here and when you were living here and how we know each other. But we want to take about a half hour here and talk a little bit about what's going on with you, how you have evolved and used hip hop to ultimately to start saving lives at this particular point. So, you know WEFT, Sandra Otten just walked in. She's been working a lot with us on our pledge drive and getting WEFT, getting some flow going down here. And so we were talking about the live call-ins, and I was under the impression that Reverend Bogan actually started the live call-ins, but you were telling me something a little different.
Yeah, we started the Bass Brothers show, what was that, 98? Was it 97?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was actually 94, 95, yeah.
That's when I was born.
I got to take chronologically here. But, yeah, we was one of the first guys to come into the radio station. When we first got there and we began our show, they would just call in to just, talk to the actual DJ. But the system wasn't set up. So when I first came in, the first week that we started the show, I decided, man, I want to be able to get people in and, talk to them. They said, well, we can't do that because it's not set up that way. So I'm like, well, where's the wiring? How does it set up? So they showed me how everything is set up. So I recrossed the system so you can hear the phone line.
Hmm.
And once we did that, it was over. That's when the Bass Brothers show kind of took off, and we started having people calling in, going crazy on the air, and then I started bringing in rap groups to the show and performing live, and people talk, interact back and forth with them. So that's pretty much how that went.
So the show that you had down here at WEFT back in the early 90s was called Bass Brothers, right?
Called the Bass Brothers show, yeah.
Valoompa-doom pink. Scooby-doo-wop, Scooby. You thought I forgot about that, didn't you? Right. That was one of my favorite songs he used to play down here when he was down here. So we talking to a fellow airshifter, Wefty, from way back in the day, Mr. Gene Hicks. So Gene, talk a little bit about what you have been working on or what you were doing here when you were living here in town, and what you're doing now.
Well, when I was in back in Champaign back then, I was mostly in a rap production. And I have my studio, which was on First and Clark, right there behind the Magic Shop. And right then, we had got the radio station and had the studio, so everything was happening right around that time. And I released the first tape. It was a funk album, and basically, I was producing for a lot of cats in town, and things just started going better and better. We started to, performing a lot throughout the campuses and stuff like that. And, I was always wanting to travel, so I never liked to stay in one place and try to come up. So I would move across the country. I would go to Michigan, St. Louis, L.A., stuff like that, and work with a lot of other cats in the underground, just making tracks. I mean, I've been all the way up to Minnesota working with cats in the studio, because back then it was more about moving around and, connecting with the street in order to get your music out, because we didn't have the internet situation like we do now. So you didn't have YouTube and all that stuff out. So, it was more street production where you sold out of the trunk. You had the CDs in the car and, you rode around and basically gave your music to people and sold your stuff right then on the spot. So, I'm coming from that era to the internet. I mean, just having that street knowledge and then the knowledge from then to now, after over time, I ended up, doing my own production. I didn't forget it. I got tired of dealing with all of the other middlemen, so I basically built my own production, started producing my own music, put my own stuff out, and the first tape went through the roof in Champaign. Everybody was, was backing me up and supporting me. Just so things over time just built. I left Champaign in 99 and came to Chicago, but felt like everything down there I possibly did. I did everything in Champaign I possibly did, from DJ at a party and all that kind of stuff. Over the time to fill my name up. So when I came to Chicago, I wanted to just advance my career more. I felt like I was a big fish in the small pond of Champaign. So I wanted to come to Chicago and make my fish grow bigger. So I decided to come up here, and without any angles, Chicago's a very big city, so you gotta figure out what's what and who's who. So, you know, make a long story short, I decided to do an internship at a recording studio at 35th Street Studios in Chicago, you know, to learn the industry from within. So I figured an internship would be good for me. So I actually paid for this service to get into this internship, but I learned a lot. And, you know, finding out things in the industry, so I decided to go to school. So forget it, man. I went on school and learned. I went to Columbia College for film and music business. And the main thing that I was learning in school was to do your own thing. You know, that was there. They kept banging it in my head at Columbia College, was do your own thing, because there's so many people in this classroom that already have talent and skills to do whatever. Why would you get out of school and go to a place to find a job when you have the skills to create your own job? So that was my mentality when I left college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then being in the rap game and then hustling in the street, you know, I just moved as fast as I could and as smart as I could. So I started putting out my own music, stuff like that. And, you know, things took off with the rap thing for a while. That was, you know, propelling my career to get my name strong here in Chicago. So I keep going. If you want
to
ask me?
Well, I mean, that was a good, you know, layout as to how you were moving, how you ended up in Chicago. And I was just kind of telling people before you called in, just a little bit about, you know, how you used, whether it was breakdancing or whatever it was, your martial arts, how you combine that.
Yeah.
And to doing some of the work that you've done with the movies or whatever. So if you wanted to talk a little bit of how you combine that when you did the movies.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm moving forward to now. So, trying to do this quickly because there's so much.
I understand.
All in, so I hope everybody can understand where I'm coming from. Basically, when I came to Chicago, I was in the music day, so I was, you know, moving to the city. But as a professional dancer, you know, I've been dancing all my life as a break dancer and pop lock and all that kind of stuff. And I've been in martial arts all my life, so, you know, I wanted to get in acting. That's what all of this was about, was to be an actor. You know, I pretty much wanted to, you know, bounce off the music game and be a martial arts actor. You know, I'm more like a Wesley Snipes follower or Denzel Washington. I like action films, things like that. So, you know, when I came here, I wanted to find an agent, and I, you know, I worked really hard at trying to do that, and, you know, networking with people, going out of places, and finally got a hook up with that. So I started doing indie films. You know, that's what people do, with indie art films. And, you know, I got hired on as a fight coordinator for a couple of indie films. So that was the way that my martial arts started taking hold. And as I started doing that, people were putting out some movies that I was doing, some stuff. I got some stuff on, you know, that went out to Blockbuster and stuff like that, and some indie films that made it. You got picked up by some indie companies and, you know, did pretty good. So that was building my name up. In the process of that, I was dancing, and I was teaching breakdance classes. So I'm the type of person, I got to do 5 or 6 things in order to get to where I'm going. So, you know, I was doing the dancing over here, acting over here, doing some martial arts classes just to build some money, revenue for myself, because I really don't like working for someone else. And if I have so many skills, I figure myself, you can do it if there's a lot of people around. There's 6 million people in Chicago. If you can't make money around 6 million people, something wrong with you. So all you young cats out there that don't think, if you have something within you, find out what it is, and work for it and use it to make yourself a living. So point is, I got to dancing. I started teaching these dance classes. I ended up going to LA Fitness, and I wanted to teach a break dance class there. And they said, well, we don't do that, but we need a fitness instructor. So this led to me, I said, well, I can do that. So she gave me an audition. They hired me right on the spot. I thought that was pretty cool. So I left LA Fitness and went to Lifetime Fitness in the same day. And I told them that they just hired me at LA Fitness. So they gave me the job. They gave me an audition. They liked what I did. And I basically started that. And that's where everything changed for me. The dance classes just blew up in my face. Before I knew it, I had people like 80, 90 feet. You know, with my style of class, I guess it was working for them. So people would lose weight left and right, come up to be crying, saying that they lost 70 pounds.
So, Gene, what's unique about your class? So, I mean, I guess we basically
what it was is me being a break dancer, rapper, martial artist, actor, producer, being rooted in the hip hop game all my life. you know, being in so many breakdance battles and so many rap battles and, you know, so many contests and all that kind of stuff to create, to learn how to do choreography, to learn how to be charismatic on stage, you know. So my style is called Hip Hop Fit because I'm a hip hop artist. So being a hip hop artist as a rapper and a dancer, I just kind of put together my idea of what I thought a hip hop class would be or should be. And it turned out to be something that created real good results because I'm combining my martial arts skills, my breakdance skills, along with my charismatic art of being a rapper. So, you know, that is what was bringing people to me because they weren't getting that kind of workout with somebody, you know, in their face rapping and singing to them and dancing with them and running around the room. You know, they're just used to somebody as more like a robot stick figure of just, you know, one and two and left. But here you got this person that's jumping on the speaker, running around the room. You know, so it was a whole different atmosphere for them to work out. People realized they would get through a whole hour and not realize that they just did 700 to 1100 calories burnt off by just dancing and, you know, having fun with them. Mm-hmm.
So and you yourself, you told me about, and I have to say that you're listening to 90.1 FM on your listening dial. This is Higher Ground. And again, we do have our supporter down here now. She be running things down here. Sandra Otten is on deck, and she is willing to take your pledges down here, 217-359-9338. 217-359-9338. In fact, she has something she wants to say to us right quick.
Yeah, just so we did kick it over the $17,000. We're at $17,035. So we're looking for $500 worth of pledges this morning on Higher Ground, and that's going to get us up to $17,535. I'm excited about it.
Let's do it.
We're climbing that tower and trying to get up to the $20,000 mark and then the $30,000. Let's do $20,000 today for public affairs on Saturday morning. We know you're listening. We know you love it. You listen every week, probably every week that you can. And can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
That in April, you should be able to get a lot of the shows off the website. You don't have to listen live. But even right now, Higher Ground is always available as a public affairs show. Isn't that right? Don't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's on the website. You don't have to, if you have to miss it during the week, you can always listen from the public affairs page of our website. So that's a service a lot of people might not know about that that costs money here, that we have to pay for the website hosting, and we have to have a bigger site that can do the streaming. So give us a call at 359-9338. Go online at weft.org, and I'll be able to watch the pledges come in there too. And we're looking for that $500. Thanks, Aaron.
All right. So that means Unique and Gerald and Deanna and Mama, all you folks who are listening, who should be making a $10, $5, $15, $500 pledge, whatever it might be, to support your brother, to support WEFT, that what we do down here live on the air. So we definitely need your support. Give us a call, 217-359-9338, and that's the landline. Sandra will take your pledge and read your stuff on the air if you'd like to make that announcement. So we've got about 13 minutes to get $250. Let's get these phones ringing down here, 217-359-9338. We are on the live line with none other than Gene Hicks, a.k.a. G the Man, your hip-hop fit instructor, who will be in town today from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Boys Club, 2nd and Park Street. Come get your hip-hop fit on. Yo, Gene.
Yeah.
All right. So now Sister Carol just joined us too. So we got a young brother named Yemi Sosina, who is an intern, not attorney yet, right? Intern for Carol's office. And Carol is here as well. Your state representative. Well, she's not your state representative, but you know what
you
I'm
can
saying.
Say that.
And, but
you can say that. You can say that.
Okay. I got you. So the other thing though, you told me about personally, what has Hip Hop Fit done for you as far as your weight loss and any sort of health benefits that it has given you?
Man, before Hip Hop Fit, I was 260, high blood pressure, through the roof, not even thinking somebody of my age would have high blood pressure or something like that. But, you know, I wasn't in bad shape, but just exactly overweight and, you know, you might think you feel good until you actually get in shape, and then you realize, wow, I felt like crap. I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was one of the main things, was to get the weight off my body, get in shape. So now I am 216.
Two what? Say that.
I'm 216 now.
216.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, cut up, feel good. I feel wonderful. I get up every day.
What's up with the blood pressure now?
It's down. It's down. And it's all the way down. That was one of the main things, to get the weight off my body, you know. And a lot of brothers don't realize, the older we get, man, we got to get to the doctor, you have to check up and know what's going on with our body. So mm-hmm. the more that I start doing this kind of thing, because if you had asked me 6 years ago about if I was doing fitness, I'd laugh at it, because that was the last thing I thought I would be doing. But when I started this fitness thing, I just started it as, oh, okay, it's a job, it's a paycheck. And then, you know, I start realizing this class is helping people. You know, people coming up saying that they had never lost weight. They had lost weight in 2 or 3 years. They've been trying to lose, you know, 20, 30 pounds. With me, they lost 100 pounds. You know, and people would just be, you know, crying and just emotionally let me know. So that changed me as a person to realize I'm doing something more than just a paycheck. I need to focus on, you know, I'm actually doing something for people, and this is actually helping. So I started focusing more on the career and just putting more time into it.
Okay. All right, so look, we got about 10 minutes left. And Carol is in the building. Sister Carol, State Representative Ammons, whatever the name is going to be this morning. And she's on my show. So go ahead. You.
Thanks, Brother Gene, for agreeing to come here and share Hip Hop Fit with us. You know, when I saw the videos and I said, hey, Gene, you need to send me some videos. My blood pressure was up high. We had just finished a campaign that was grueling. And I've been doing it at home. First of all, if people are listening, what Gene said is that you can do an hour and not realize you've done an hour because it's so much fun. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Well, the mic is moving, bro.
Okay, there you go. Now you can just go ahead and talk right on into it. There you go.
So that is a true statement. So we decided that we wanted to do something different. We wanted to have an event, unlike a political event, but everything is political, right? So we decided to host Gene here, bring him back home so people can feel the exercise and get their burn on, right?
I had a caller. Is that Gene? Yeah, that was you calling back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my phone was messed up.
So I'm looking forward to the class, Gene. I've been telling everybody about it, and people are excited about the class. So we're
she's down here eating oranges on my show, trying to talk into the mic and stuff.
okay, yeah, I think my Bluetooth is dying out.
So listen, if anybody's out there listening, you want to try to call in at 217-359-6545. That line is open. Maybe you have a question, comment, a concern. Want to give a shout out to Brother Gene. I sent it to Boatwright and to Jock and all of them to see if they was going to be listening and see if they would call in. We'll see what happens. 217-359.
You know my homie's in up this early.
So it is a little early. But listen, we need these pledges to come in. 217-359-9338. Wake up out there, y'all. Like I said, $5, $10, $25, $90, and 10 cent, $40, whatever it is that you can contribute to WEFT. Our goal is $500 within this 2 hours, and I am at a goose egg. So you all are not helping the brother. Y'all ain't making me look good down here. I'm starting to take it personal. I'm still capable of crying. So listen, I want you all to call in down here, 217-359-9338. Also, I want to remind you that our underwriting for Higher Ground is brought to you by Kevin Elliott Counseling. Elliott Counseling Group has 30 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including state employee insurance, is accepted. There is also a self-pay sliding scale. You can contact Kevin Elliott or his staff at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. That is ELLIOTT CounselingGroup.com. Or you can give him a call at 217-398-9066. So thank you, Kevin Elliott Counseling, for your support and your underwriting here at WEFT. So, Jeter, you got about five minutes, man. Talk to him. What do you want people, what should they expect tonight?
they should expect is a fun workout. Just come with the attitude of you just come to dance, like going to the club. And I was thinking about my class, like you feel like you're going to a club or you are at a club. There's a DJ and an MC, and the party don't stop. And by the time you get done, you are sweaty and you feel like you just left church. that's the best way I can describe how, you know, you get that feeling when you leave out, you feel like I really feel good, and that's the best way I can describe it. And they keep coming back, and you know, before I knew it, I was able to open my own place. So now I have my own studio here, and I come in every day. I got to get a class in an hour. I'm about to get ready to go up there now, and it's gonna be a packed house this morning. Everybody's ready to get the hip-hop.
Who's coming to this, man? You said it's hip-hop. This is just for young African-Americans. No, I mean, it's hip-hop, just, man. Don't know white people come.
It's my crowd, right?
Everything. Everybody comes to my class. That's the best thing about my class. I'm a universal cat. I'm not about being on one side of the fence. I know every type of person. So when you walk in my room, it's a world party. There's somebody from Germany. There's somebody from Mexico. There's somebody from Southside. You know, it's black, white, yellow, red, brown in my room. And that's the thing. Me being an entertainer, you know, people gravitated to that. And they feel like they're in a family when they come to my class. Everybody's this camaraderie. You know, these people have joined and have become friends. That they've forged friendships that would last for the next, you know, 50, 60 years because they have met in my class. There's been babies being born through my class. They've had baby showers. I mean, the class itself has become its own thing. That, you know, these people have basically created a group called the G-Squad at my studio. And they come together, they have picnics, and, you know, this person might have something going on, and everybody goes over to that person. And it's just become a family thing. So, you know, a lot of cultures have crossed. And that's the most beautiful thing about hip hop is just the culture cross that brings people together.
So we got a young brother here who is who's a senior at the University of Illinois, and he likes music. He wants to get involved in radio DJ type of stuff. And so he, Yemi, what would you say? What have you got any questions or whatever?
So what are some things I should be doing right now, right before I graduate, to get more into the radio broadcasting field and DJing?
Okay, well, first thing you want to do is start DJing your own thing. You got to, it's my whole point of being your own entity. You guys have the internet today, so you can drop a mixtape as a DJ and put it straight to iTunes and start promoting your own music videos and, I mean, whatever. You know, you have the radio station. Get down there, start your own radio show, and, you know, the more you start, you know, doing your own, honing your craft. You have DJ equipment, because you can't be a DJ unless you have DJ equipment. So, like, you got to cut out every middleman you can and really start booking your own gigs and create a name for yourself. It's much easier today with the internet than it is, you know, past 15 years ago, to where you just had to have, you know, you have to go down to the radio station and give somebody a CDS to where you could just email him a song. You know what I'm saying? So use the resources that you guys have today, which is the internet and Facebook and things like that, to really get you to where you're trying to go.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I appreciate indeed. It.
And so you'll see Yemi today. We're going to drag him over to the boys' club and so he can get his nene on. We're going to see how that goes. And so, all right, man, well, look, we are looking forward to, we've talked about it as much as we possibly could. We're going to continue to pub it up for the next hour and calling people personally, reaching out to people. Like you said, it doesn't matter. Older, younger, middle-aged, African-American, Latino, white, it don't make a difference. Male, female, don't matter.
You
are welcome.
If you are more than welcome, if you like hip hop music and you want to try something new that you have never done before, there will be DVDs sold at the show that you can take home with you and do my workout. But it's, you know, if you want to, for anybody, if you like to get in shape, if you're looking for a new way of getting yourself together, come and see us today. I guarantee you that you will leave a changed person.
All right, so you're gonna have G Squad T-shirts there. You have Hip Hop
yep.
Fit T-shirts there.
You have
videos there for people. There. All right, man. Well, listen, we're going to get out of here. We appreciate your call. Make sure you get
to that
class. Don't hurt yourself in the class. Drive safe coming down here. And we look forward to seeing you in a little while, brother.
All right, brother.
All right, peace.
Take care.
And it looks like we had a donation come in, a pledge come in. What we got there?
Oh, yeah. Looks like somebody from my household gave a little pledge.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What we got there?
Yeah, my mother, Yemi C. Sosina, gave a little donation today. I just want to thank my mom for that. Means a lot to me today.
That's so all right. That's all right. What'd she give us? 7,000? What?
You can say that.
She's laughing right now. She made the donation that really meant something for her, and we appreciate what she's given. But more importantly, she is very happy that her young son is here doing great things, and she blesses you and blesses your future. And so that's a blessing to have a mother who's in your corner following you around.
Absolutely.
That is a blessing. So to her, we wish her peace.
Thank you, Ms. Sosina, for your pledge. Thank you for helping create this wonderful individual who is now here with us, and we're having a good time. He was with us. He's been up since 5 o'clock or a little after 5 o'clock this morning. He was only about 2 minutes late to the Breakfast Club that started at 6 o'clock today, but he made up for it. Because this is probably not going to be shocking to your mother. I don't know if it would be or
no,
not.
No, not at all.
But he went in. We were having a very important meeting that had to start at 6 this morning. We usually cook and just hang out and network from 6 to 7. But this morning, because of time constrictions, we had to get right into the heart of a real important meeting. And Yemi took over the kitchen. The eggs, the turkey bacon, the biscuits, everything. He cooked everything. Set up everything by himself while we conducted the meeting, and so he has jumped right in both feet, and he's learning a lot, and we really, really appreciate everything that he's bringing to the table. So thank you for rearing such an amazing young man. We appreciate you.
So we want to ask people to join Ms. Sosina and make a donation today down here at WEFT. We have to get to our goal before the 10 o'clock hour. I know you're listening. The important part about what's going on is not just that we're bringing Gene Hicks down because we want to support another young man's work. I mean, he has worked hard ever since I've met him to not only be positive, but to create. And so we want to bless him and welcome him back to his own home community this evening.
I definitely think we should welcome him back. I don't know if we should call Gene young, though, at this particular point. Gene older than you and me.
Well, you know, I consider myself young, so I'm just really still, I think I'm in the young woman's club. I don't know if I am or am not.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's how I see it, and so that's how I'm going to call it. But we want to welcome Gene.
Well, I think that it's important not just to just, you know, make shots at age and stuff like that, but actually to think about, you know, this is how you take your lifelong dream and turn it into something that actually you can continue the dream and also take care of yourself, your family, all those different things. Right. You know, so the thing that has deeply moved me about him all the time is he doesn't let anything stop him, and he takes it and turns it into the means, the resources that he needs to take care of himself or to provide for his family and all that kind of stuff. And just watching him take, whether it's breakdancing, creating his own movies. He did two movies. One of them was called Loyalty, and I forgot the title to the second movie, but it's just like he's always working on these particular things.
You talked about he was in Chicago, trying out for Chicago Fire too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, doing some work on the, station?
NBC.
NBC, and tried out, he almost had a role on Empire, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff that he's doing, but he's taking it and using his dream, what he's been doing all his life, and turning it into something so positive like this. So, and losing weight himself, you know what I mean, and helping himself. Sandra, yes. What you got for us over there?
Well, I was just wondering where you could, have your guests say, just get your own radio show. You can't do that everywhere, right?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And
that's
it's the truth. But you know what? We have a lot of open slots here that time's available. The time before this show is available if anyone is interested in proposing a show for the 6 to 8 Saturday morning slot. And there are a lot of there's an availability on Friday night where there's normally has been the Hip Hop Express. That's kind of an open slot right now. And there's other open slots here. So if you are interested in having a radio show or just supporting those who want to, be entrepreneurs and get their start. There's a lot of people who have taken off in their entrepreneurial journeys through WEFT. Molly Stentz is now the news director at WORT in Madison. She got her start here. Pauline Bartolone, who reports for Free Speech Radio News, used to do IMC Radio News here on WEFT. Just lots of connections with people who've gone out and done great things in the world. Got their start at WEFT and definitely got their education, their political education, listening to Saturday morning radio here and listening to Democracy Now at 4 o'clock that we play every at 4 o'clock. That's not an easy thing to do, to play that every day at 4 o'clock, to get all that lined up, to pay the fees for it, all of that that has to be done. So we need you to call 359-9338 and support Carol and Aaron here, who come down and do this show so regularly, get out of bed on Saturday morning. It's not the easiest thing to do. They're not getting paid for this. They're doing it as a community service. You are the community, and this is the service they're providing. So give us a call. I'm going to take your calls now at 359-9338.
I'll tell you, Sandra, that all of the practice that I got from WEFT when I first ran for state rep, we had a lot of radio,
interviews
that it was a breeze for me because I had done so much radio leading up to that point. It was very difficult, and I could see my opponent having real trouble with the radio. You know, people can't see you, but it's not that easy. And so I was able to really convey through word a spirit that people could connect with. And that is wholly in part to being here on WEFT for over a decade now. Mm-hmm. Over a decade we've been on this radio station. And so it helps me with interviewing. It helps me politically because I listen to all the other shows. But it also helps to convey a sincerity through words that people can connect with.
Yeah.
And that's all because of WEFT. Prior to that, I had done no radio at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is a great station to support. And it's not free to keep the lights on and to upgrade the equipment. This is not free. But we only raise that which we need. So they're not paying us to be here. We're doing what we need to do to support our community. And so with your help, those who are listening, whatever your contribution is, don't assume that it's not enough. It is exactly what we need. So call us this morning, 217-359-9338. You may get me answering the phone. I just answered the phone and took the last pledge. Or you may get Sandra, but nonetheless, we want you to call and support us this morning here on WEFT Higher Ground.
Right. And I'm also, if you call in, I'd love to hear what you love about WEFT and what you'd like to hear differently. We are always open to suggestions. We listen to the community. One of the things we're trying to do right now is to create a more regularly, locally produced news program where we're actually reporting on the news. And Brian Dolan and I are giving it a shot. We're starting Monday at 6 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. there's a slot that is normally where Friday Forum replays, 6 to 7 p.m. on Mondays. And we are thinking that we're going to use the articles out of the Public Eye as fodder, because the Public Eye is a great publication, but we don't always have time to read the newspaper and get through all those articles. So we're going to be interviewing some people who are on the have been writing for the Public Eye. Combine that with some calendar events and what's coming up in the progressive community. You can hear that on Monday night, 6 to 7 p.m. for the next 2 weeks, where we do a pilot program and see how we would like that to evolve. Looking for your comments, if anybody wants to make any comments about what they'd like to see in local news programming, or if anybody would like to get involved with local news programming. We're not going to do it ourselves. We're going to put together a team of people to do it. So that's our idea. And one other thing. Oh, and today on at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be on with my show, WEFT Vision 2020, which is a one-hour-a-month show where I report on all things WEFT. Mm. And this month, I'm going to be talking about the budget. So I'm going to be breaking down the budget and where our money goes and where our money comes from. And I'll tell you that over a half of our money comes from listeners, way over half. So I'll give you the exact figures, but we do need you to call in to support locally produced public affairs programming. And I'm just interested, though, we haven't been talking about Matt Rush near enough for me. You got it on the agenda?
Right. It's on the agenda. We know that there's a lot of questions people have around Matt Rush, and I'll just say that we don't have an official report from the city. I did speak to some people off the, what do you call, deep undercover?
deep off the record.
You got to start from the beginning and kind of just do a little recap of who Matt Rush is and why, and just the just a little timeline on it, and bring people up to date and tell us what's going on.
So, you know, to sort of try to compress that as much as possible, I don't have the actual dates that I could use from a timeline perspective that I can sort of regurgitate to everyone right now.
But I think he was involved in an initial thing with Martell Miller's son that was abused. He was one of the officers involved in that. And that was in what year?
That's why I'm saying I don't know the exact date system.
I thought it was 2011.
It may be 2011. I do believe the timeline that I'm completely comfortable with began in 2010. There was some deep off the record stuff that I understood that it was a It was alleged that he was actually stopped from after leaving the Silver Bullet one night by the University of Illinois police. It was an allegation that was made, and that he actually blew twice the legal limit of alcohol, and he was allowed to call a friend and to take him home. Now, that was an allegation that was never founded publicly, but there was certainly a lot of traction in a lot of circles and a lot of comments on the thread that came from people who said they were on the scene when it happened. But again, that was when the allegations began. And that was when Chief Finney was still the chief in the city of Champaign. And it was alleged then that he extended Matt Rush's probation for 6 months instead of firing him at that point. And so he has been a problem for the city of Champaign since 2010, or since he was first brought on, even before he was actually brought onto the force. And so that has continued with abuse, with tardiness, with falsifying documents, not telling the truth on documents, because from my perspective, when you withhold truthful information, you lie, right? So when you say when you don't document the fact that you did an aggressive knee strike to the leg of an individual, to me, that's falsifying the document. You did not report what actually happened. But from a policy standpoint, he just simply omitted some information. It's not necessarily against the law, right? Maybe it should be, Representative Ammons, that if a police officer omits such important information from a police report, that there should be some actual legal ramifications that that they would have to face, because it's really easy for them to say, I don't remember, you know, smacking the smack out of something, the snot out of somebody. Oh, but it is on tape. I must have done it. I just didn't remember it, so I didn't put in a report. So all you can get is some sort of slap on the wrist or some response from your from the place where you work, from your department, but there's no legal ramifications for that. And that's probably a broader topic. So Rush has Matt Rush, the officer, the Champaign police officer, has was involved in a case where they had to pay out a $25,000 settlement, a $70,000.
These are abuse cases.
These are abuse cases of him either punching, kicking, verbal abuse, all kind of different stuff in these particular cases. And up to date, the latest case was the $250,000 settlement. There was a 70, it was either a 50 and a 20. It was something like that. But I think there were three cases that came to $320,000 that either the taxpayers have had to pay or that the insurance has had to pay in the city of Champaign. And then now there's another case with Precious Jackson that he is complete. The abuse that I saw, the abuse of power that I witnessed as he chased her down the street, slammed her to the ground, straddled her, and then punched her in the face and eventually pepper sprayed her. I certainly think that there was something in there that he could be charged criminally with, but our state's attorney has decided not to do that. And that's another conversation I'm sure we'll be having soon. But that is the abuse. And this woman was she did not have on undergarments at that time. So all of her
she had some mental health issues.
And she had mental health issues. But as one of the things that Sandra Iden pointed out once the last show that we had, as we talked about this, was the sort of sexual
aggression
and violence that is also apparent in a situation like that, to have this man, and from the historical context of America, a white male slamming this black female to the ground, straddling her in the way that he did, and she doesn't have on any undergarments, and they are, her body is exposed, and he's brutalizing her. There's so many different things from a historical racial component that is disturbing, and as Sandra pointed out and others have pointed out as women, the sexual violence that is associated with that, having to watch that scene and watch that play out. So that case is still pending. And according to those who I have, we've talked to, and to many people who are involved, this case is more egregious than the other cases.
Man.
So if the other case paid out $250,000, and then there's an allegation by her attorney that she was pregnant and she lost the child because there was a knee strike to her groin, which her vagina area, right? So this is a... This person,
take a second.
Yeah, because I don't want to say something. It's an awful thing.
You know, we're attempting to get rid of, and we've done this for a number of years, get rid of abusive officers. It doesn't help the public safety to have abusive officers on the force. Unfortunately, in all of the cases, other officers felt that Mr. Rush's conduct was appropriate, which is part of the questioning that's taking place. And there are several pieces of legislation that may pass in this session that deal strongly with the abuse of power. So that's happening at the exact same time. This lawsuit will continue, but just about a week or so ago, Matt Rush took it upon himself to file a lawsuit against the chief of police.
Well, the FOP did that. That's not Matt Rush. That's... The fraternal
on
order
his behalf.
Right. I understand.
He's the client.
I just want to be clarified.
He's the client, man. He took it upon himself. Somebody gave him some really silly advice to file a lawsuit against his former employer for taking away his badge and gun in relationship to another incident that allegedly has taken place since all of this has been revealed. And to file against the president of the NAACP. This is public record. It's in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Surely it's almost laughable that the abusive police officer turns around and files a lawsuit saying that he was then
abused.
Right. I mean, it's laughable, but that's what he's doing. It will work its way out.
If you see someone behave in this manner, and we always encourage people to read the transcripts that you can get your hands on, because
it don't come out in the newspaper.
Because when you read the interviews and you read the comments, you see things like how an officer is led by the person who's interviewing them to stay away from certain areas or to answer the questions in a particular way that keep them from being criminally charged or something, right? Yeah. You hear language that you just don't, you're not going to get from the newspaper, because the newspaper can only print so much, right? And the newscasters are only going to play snippets. But when you go read the documents yourself, you get a more complete picture. And if a person behaves this way on video, then you know this is not just their behavior at that moment. If this person brings this type of abuse and anger and hostility on the job on video, what are they doing outside of here? Right. You know what I mean? Certainly they're not. There's going to be some consistent behavior off the camera as well.
Sure.
I'm assuming he's still on payroll too, right?
He is not.
He is not right now.
That's good.
Which is, again, he did use, according to policy, he used up his
sick and vacation time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And now he's on leave, officially
unpaid leave.
And he's lost his badge and gun.
That's good.
So he is a problem for the city of Champaign, which I know the city is really working hard to end this process with him. And we'll see what happens.
Sandra has her hands on her hips.
He's on leave, but this in the News Gazette, they reported that the spokesperson for the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, which is who fought his dismissal, right? He's on leave, and then she had a statement in the News Gazette that was reported that people just need to stop harassing him and leave him alone, and so he can enjoy his time off like other citizens when they have their time off. And it was reported in the News Gazette. Did you read it? made it.
Nope.
Yeah. It was a front page item there, I'm pretty sure it was a local page. And it was just the most, like, this is news that the union is telling people to stop harassing Matt Rush. And just to say, another reason why we need independent radio and independent news, you know, because you really do have to, the only way to really to parse through the news in the newspaper is to read it every day and to follow stories and to really start understanding how they tie together. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you just read that story, you think, well, somebody should stop harassing this police officer. You know, he's got these charges, but hey, he's, you know, and you have to know the backstory to things. You have to really follow things. And I appreciate that you guys do that, that you do that here on Saturday mornings. It really does make a difference. And it's not always easy to do, you know, to follow stories like that, to get through them, to keep on top of every twist and turn, because there's some twists and turns in this one. Yeah. That's for sure.
And there's some other people.
This is made for TV, though.
Yeah, you know, and when I think about, when you think about those allegations that were made that he was stopped back in early 2009 or 2010, when he was first coming onto the force while he was still going through probation. The allegation that the University of Illinois Police Department stopped him and he blew twice the limit, and then they allowed him to call somebody and to leave, and then reported it to Champaign. Hey, look, just so you know that this happened. Now, from what I have gathered since then, is that it's not unheard of for an officer to stop someone who has is clearly intoxicated and allow them to leave and have somebody drive off with them. They, from hearing other officers chime in on these threads and talk to them, they said that's not unheard of. It does happen. And so they, but the officer who chimed in said, but I would never do that for a police officer, right? Because your responsibility level at a certain point is higher than the average citizen. That's why you can do these things. You can use excessive force and stuff in appropriate times where other citizens would go to jail or get arrested for doing those types of things. So if indeed it's true that he was stopped and blew twice the legal limit, then the University of Illinois Police Department should also be involved in all this. Because see, if indeed that's true and he was fired like he should have been at that time, we wouldn't be here now with the abuse of other citizens and the taxpayers' dollars and these hundreds of thousands of dollars being paid out. So this is why you do have to have a critique of the entire process, not just the officer who was a loose cannon. That's why we praised and gave some kudos to Dorothy David, the Champaign City Council, and Chief Cobb for firing him, right? You know, and the FOP did what unions do, right? They fought for their employee, and he won through arbitration. Now, I do believe that as a union president, I know that if one of our members does something or is accused of doing something that it looks like they could very well be found guilty, we would make ask ourselves, do we have a legitimate case to take to the arbitrator? Because we don't want to spend $10,000 and you were caught sleeping and stealing, and there's a very strong case that you were doing just that, then we're going to take our members' dues and spend $10,000 just for the arbitrator to say, why did you bring this to me? Of course he did it. He's fired. Well, she's fired. So I do believe that the FOP can make a decision. They don't have to say, look, we're going to abandon our employees. We're going to stand with our employees. But there's some things that you can do that we're not going to waste or to use our members' dollars to go to arbitration just so that you can be fired, right? So that the arbitrator can uphold whatever decision that was made. So the FOP made a decision and they decided to go forward with it. And from a union perspective, I can't argue with the FOP for saying, listen, we're willing to take the shot, right? Now, I think the FOP, I haven't seen a case that the FOP says, I'm not, it could be Laquan McDonald, right?
They
could be,
they're
going to fight everyone. And I think that in my humble opinion, that is a position that you can find some principle in that, hey, listen, we fight for all our members no matter what. But I also think it you run the risk of losing credibility, right? Because people are saying, how are you going to support that? Right. You know, that's just too far. And so I think the FOP runs into that problem. And I think that they get the rightful critique and raking over the coals that they need and that they have earned by saying that we're going to fight regardless of whatever the situation is, because there are some things that I believe are indefensible. Right. You know what I mean? If you say you're going to fight for it, then you're going to take the public scrutiny that comes with that.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. And so this, you know, I've been taking some heat. Some folks called me and told me some dude named Larry went off on me at WDWS and said, there's no way. How is Carol and Aaron Ammons out calling for the head of another fellow union member when he's a union president and she's gotten all this money from the unions? Listen, my hands and feet are still cold from standing outside in brutal weather for a strike. Don't ever question my loyalty to my members and to what I believe in the strength of a union is, right? So for me to say that principally, as a black man in particular, also to add into this equation, that I'm going to sit around and watch folks brutalize black people and black women and not say nothing, then you got me messed up, because I'm definitely going to take a position on that. And I don't really give a damn what you think about where I stand on that particular point, because I think it's a principled position and I'm not going to sway in a situation like that. He deserves to be fired. He needs a new profession. If he want to come be a BSW, then I'll represent him as a BSW and SEIU. But as a police officer, he needs a new occupation.
Well, Carol, what about the legislation that allows, or what do you know about bad apples being able to go from one place to another, cops?
So we passed it back in the spring, last session, that there is actually a tracking of these officers now that didn't exist before. So you can't go from Champaign Police and say he just quit and he didn't want to go through this whole process, but he wanted to go and work in Tolono. Now we track them and their records are available to Tolono Police Department before they actually offer this person a policing position. So they will see the level of abuse or whatever the conduct was in the previous department.
And that used to not be.
It used to be that
if they quit, then their personnel.
It was just closed.
It was closed. You didn't get anywhere with it and they couldn't even get a reference, whatever.
So that's changed as of January of this year. It just went into effect.
And then there's a complication, the fact that he's represented by Bruno. Am I mistaken on that or is that right?
Rush is Bruno.
Oh, is he represented by Bruno?
That's right.
Okay, I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah.
Who his attorney was. Now, that's an interesting thing, and I think the question was asked, why isn't there a conflict of interest? Now, if you're out there listening and you have the answer to that, please call us 217-359-5483.
If that's correct. I know that Bruno is representing...
The other officer who's being charged with sexual crimes.
And so the conflict of interest lies in that Bruno is on the city council and he is the person who, you know, one of the people then that negotiates the contract with the with the union. Mm-hmm. And then here he is defending somebody who's, yeah, so.
You know, and from my understanding, conflict of interest wasn't always in direct relationship to an actual conflict. You don't even want the appearance of a conflict of interest. It's when we were fighting cases and involved in the courtroom and stuff like that, you don't even want the appearance of a conflict. So for you to be a sitting city council member mm-hmm. with charged with being a steward of city dollars, right? And the taxpayers' dollars, and to represent someone who is, costing the city some money,
right,
or could possibly, there's a conflict there.
So
there's
you're on
certainly
the side
there's
of the
an appearance.
And the defendant.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's a conflict.
That's a conflict.
That is the conflict.
If that's the case, it's sort of a conflict. And then I know you said you would just get to it sometime down the road, but the fact that Julia Reitz did not charge this is, we've talked to some lawyers and it's definitely chargeable. It's definitely chargeable. It's not a. It's not a question of whether, and it's she used prosecutorial discretion in deciding not to charge it, and it was her decision. And you know, she could pay for that in the fall. She's going to have an opponent who is a Republican, but who has some progressive tendencies with regard to crime and punishment. And she just needs to be, you know, some progressives are saying, don't even bother pushing her. to do it because she's not going to do the right thing. She's shown she's not going to do the right thing. Don't try to push her to the left. She's not moving. Vote for the Republican. And there's some a lot of progressives that are saying vote for the Republican here. I think she has a chance to do the right thing right now and say, you know, I've looked at it again. I've changed my mind. And I think we need to prosecute this guy. And I think it would go a long way toward showing people her will to do the right thing and not to be, quote unquote, in bed with the police, because it's just not where the state's attorney needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I think I read an article
a couple of weeks ago that talked about the relationship between the prosecutor and the police departments, and how across the country, it was doing an analysis of across the country, how prosecutors seldom, if at all, prosecute officers for the most egregious acts. And even in the case of Laquan McDonald's case, if that video had not been made public by a independent journalist, Alvarez had no intentions on prosecuting those officers. Only when it was made public and the public pressure that came down on those cases did she have a change of mind.
But she lost the vote.
And she lost
and
the vote.
I'm just saying, yeah. I think the writing's on the wall if it happens here. If you can't prosecute Matt Rush and get him off the streets, if that's the only way to get him off the streets, then Julia, do the right thing. Get him off the streets. I don't think it's a... I don't think it's a black and white issue, but unfortunately it is. But,
right, right. So, Yumi, what you think about this, man? What you got?
It's a clear decision. He should just be off the streets. I've seen pictures of the brutal pictures of just black guys, bloody faces, and I don't see how someone can even represent him. It's not right at all. I feel like he should just be prosecuted and just put in jail as soon as possible.
I think the interesting thing about it is that often they just don't have, they don't go through due process, right? So you get caught in a fight on the university campus, they arrest you and they charge you and you go through the court process, right? They don't go through the court process. So we never find out all the details of what really happened, and they never, ever have to testify. They don't have to testify because they never go through the process of due process. And I think in this case, just like any other person, he's entitled to due process, but the system protects him from due process. So the public never gets to see what truly happened, and they don't see the victims, and they don't hear their voices, and they get kind of muffled out around all of the privilege that's connected to being an officer. Yeah.
So look, you're listening to 90.1 FM on your listening dial. This is Higher Ground, and we are talking about the officer Matt Rush, who must go. And but see, the question to all of you who are out there listening, when do you get to spend 30 minutes or an hour talking about such an important issue for you and your community? You don't hear that on some of the commercial radio stations. You don't hear that in places other than WEFT and places like this. Maybe WRFU, maybe WBCP, but certainly you're hearing it now at WEFT. So we need those pledges to come in again. We are nothing like last week, and I'm a little disappointed here. You know, we've got the staff here. We got your state rep in the house. You're seeing the benefits of WEFT live and direct, or you're hearing it over the airwaves. So give us a call down here, 217-359-9338. I gave a lovely shout out to my mom, so that, I thought that earned about $40 worth of pledges or something.
And if you drop by your pledge, sometimes your listeners do that, we've got a donut for you. And then you can work it off this afternoon at the hip hop.
That's right. From the hip hop fit.
700 to 1100 calories. Yes, indeed.
Don Moore Boys and Girls Club. Hip hop fit. Brother Aaron is going to be in the Boys and Girls Club doing hip hop fit. Man, you guys are going to enjoy that. You should come just for the videotaping of Brother Aaron.
She's trying to act like I can't dance.
I'm going to come wait to laugh at you.
No, yeah. Okay. Y'all going to think y'all came to laugh at A-Dub, and you're going to see some other folks over there. You'll be like, wait a minute, A-Dub getting it in. All
right.
It's Sister Carol. That, like, is that two left feet that she got there? So listen, I appreciate somebody else just called in. Listen, we need these phones ringing down here, man. You have to finance your own revolution. Your oppressors and the status quo are not going to send you money to undo what they have put in place. right? So again, it could be $5. It could be $2. What I'm saying is I want to know that you're listening out there. I want to know that you care about WEFT as a radio station. I want to know that you appreciate me and appreciate Carol and Yemi and the work that we're doing. We want you all to call in down here and make those pledges, 359-9338.
Yeah, so we just had a call from Mary Jane Tuttle. Thank you, Mary Jane. She said she had mailed in her $120 pledge, and we appreciate that. And she said that she really enjoys the Saturday morning program and really appreciates Carol and Aaron and all the information that they bring to her, and that they've really opened up her eyes to so many topics that she hadn't thought of in the ways that you present them. And that when she went to the polls this week, she specifically, even though Reitz was not opposed, did not vote for Reitz because she couldn't bring herself to do it, really in large part because of what she has learned about Reitz during the Saturday morning programming here. So you other Democrats who think we should vote for Reitz, maybe you should call in and give your opinion too, and you can give me a pledge while you're at it. And we'll be standing by to take your call. Thank you, Mary Jane, for calling in and let us know that you appreciate not only showing us with your dollars, but calling us in and let us know what you like about the programming here at WEFT.
Absolutely.
Call 359-9338, and I'll happy to take your opinion and your pledge too.
That's right.
All right, y'all. So look, we've got about another half an hour. These 2 hours go by fast, don't they?
They sure do.
So what you got? I'm gonna transition us into a topic around marijuana, mm-hmm. right? Being a student on the campus, and your mom is listening, so don't be saying nothing about you smoking or weeding, nothing like that, right? You know, listen. But honestly, you know, just sort of in a direct conversation about marijuana legalization, decriminalization, medicalization, all these topics, all these different angles as it comes to as we talk about marijuana. And it's something that's that I have been dealing with for over a decade around this failed war on drugs and its impact on the black and brown folks and poor whites in particular. And the and it's coming up in the city of Urbana. There's a topic that we're discussing right now about lowering the fine. So currently, as it sits, in the city of Urbana, if you are caught in possession of 29 grams or less of marijuana, it can be a ticket if the officer so chooses to make it a ticket violation, a city ordinance. It would be $300. So, but the officer does have the choice and discretion, the discretion to make it a state charge, right? And so I have some concerns about that, and I have some documents in front of me that shows that in the past 6 years in the city of Urbana, in the past 6 years, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, there have been a total of 9 automatic felony arrests. So in 2010, there were 3 cannabis possessions over 30 grams, which is an automatic felony, okay. Over 30 grams, 30 grams or more, right? 3 in 2010, 0 in 2011, 0 in 2012, 2 in 2013, 2 in 2014, and 2 in 2015. So it clearly says from a possession standpoint, 9 people in the past 6 years have been in possession of over 30 grams, according to, and who have been arrested by the Urbana Police Department. But in 2010, 59 people were charged at the state level for under 30 grams.
Wow.
And 51 were given a $300 ticket. So again, in 2010, 59 people at the discretion of the Urbana Police Department charged at the state level, a felony, or charged at the state level, because it could be a misdemeanor, they were charged at the state level, 59 people. Only 2 people were automatic possession over 30 grams, which is an automatic felony charge. And 51 were given the Urbana City Ordinance of $300 fine.
And that's for 29 and under.
29 and under. An ounce. And I wish, you know, people can just go get a Ziploc bag or a sandwich plastic baggie and fill it with oregano and fill it until you get to 1 ounce and put it on a little scale. And you get an idea of what an ounce looks like, right? And then you get to compare that to the pounds and the tons of marijuana that come to America from various different places and people growing it and all kind of stuff. So just continuing in that vein, the people who were given state charges in 2010 was 59 as opposed to city ordinance 51. In 11, 74 state charges, 53 city ordinances. In 2012, 67 state charges, 44 city ordinances. In 2013, 73 state charges, 68 city ordinances. In 2014, 81 state charges, 63 city ordinances. In 2015, 70 state charges, 57 city ordinances. Now, the reason why I share that in that way is because what we see is that in every year over the past 6 years, there have been more people given state charges for under 30 grams than people who have been given tickets for under 30 grams in the last 6 years, even though the Urbana City Council agreed, voted as duly elected officials to put an ordinance that says individuals who are caught with less than 30 grams can be given a fine. Now, one of the things that Representative Ammons has been harping with me and talking to me about is that you have to understand the spirit of a law as well as the letter of the law. But the spirit of a law is the reason why the law was put in place in the first place. So as elected officials, as aldermen, we are local legislators. When we put ordinances on the books, that is what is supposed to be enforced by the police department and by the other departments within the city. So the spirit of this ordinance was so that you would have far more city fines than state charges, right?
Yeah.
So why then every year then in the past 6 years do you have more state charges than city fines, right? So this is a question that as an alderman I'm posing to the Urbana Police Department, and I'm posing it to the public because the vast majority of the public from state to state is saying, look, you all need to leave this marijuana stuff alone. It needs to be legalized even for recreational use. They have passed in Colorado and D.C. and other places. It's growing. And we have, a lot of people don't even realize this, marijuana is already legal in Illinois.
Definitely.
That's medicalization means it's legal. Yeah,
just
go ahead.
Just want to preface everything. Weed is here and it's not going anywhere. I'm just going to be honest. And I wish you could have statistics on who those city ticket, who gets those city tickets.
Oh,
now,
I do.
And I promise you, those are probably,
In 2010, 28 African-Americans, 23 white. Okay. In 2011, 33 African-American, 18 white. And two Asian Pacific Islanders. In 2012, 29 African-American, 14 white, one Hispanic. In 2013, 42 African-American, 24 white, one Hispanic, one Asian Pacific Islander. In 2014, 38 African-American, 24 white, one Hispanic. In 2015, 28 African-American, 23 white, five Asian Pacific Islanders. Okay. So every year, although African-Americans only make up 16% of the population.
Yeah, it doesn't match the demographic.
We're always higher than every other demographic. And that's because, well, I don't know why. Somebody else could have to explain that to me. Go ahead, Sandra.
Well, I can explain it in one part. I listened to a police the other day, an ex-cop, and he was talking about when to give tickets like that and when not to. And often he would use this word. He would say, now, these are people with a future. We don't want to arrest them. We just want to be able to give them these tickets because these are people with a future. These are students at the U of I. And I was like, hello, everybody's got a future. If you don't destroy it with it, you know, like don't think they got a future only because they're U of I students.
That's right.
And it was really irritating to me. I kind of had to bite my tongue on that one. But I wanted to thank Sonia, who just text or whatever, online donated. There we go. She didn't text me. She online donated. I just checked our online pledges. She gave $40. Thank you, Sonia. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
We appreciate all the listeners. Thank you really all so much for you guys doing this work here. And yeah, and keep on keeping on. We're going to keep plugging away here at WEFT. We're going to get us over this 30,000. Come hell or high water. So well, we need your help. Yeah, we're not going to, we need it. We're not just asking for it because we are, it's how much we need. It really is. We used to have 40,000 as our goal. We figured out how to cut a bunch of expenses here. We've taken it down to the bare bones. Now we're trying to do a little reverse thing. We're going to do different kind of fundraisers. We're going to write for different kind of grants. We're going to staff with different mix of people here. So we're not having just one station manager. We're trying to have a different mix of several people working here so that we can all share the load. Mm-hmm. And we got plans, but we need your help to do it. We still need to rely on mostly our donors during pledge.
And you said something important about sharing the load. And we talked about this on the other one. Listen, again, I keep reiterating, and I want to continue to reiterate, that if you don't have 40 to give, if you have 4 to give, when you share the responsibility, when if we're trying to get $500 in the next 20 minutes, right, instead of having 5 people do $100, if you can't afford that, we'll take 50 people at 10, right? So don't wait for somebody else to move this needle. We want you to give us a call at 217-359-9338 and you help us move the needle with your $5, $10, $40, $90, $100, whatever it is that you can contribute and you feel comfortable doing that. Now, I would like for you to give until it stings a little bit, but I know you got 5 different people calling you asking you the same thing. So, hey, I'm asking you to give what you possibly can to WEFT, WEFT 90.1 FM on your listening dial. And you are listening to Higher Ground right now with your brother Aaron Ammons and sister Carol Ammons and Yemi Solsina.
Yeah, just want to thank my older sister, too. She just put in a donation as well.
Is that right?
Appreciate that.
Most definitely.
Yeah, got the family listening.
Got
today.
The Solsina effect going on around here.
Well, I wanted to ask you about, as Yemi just pointed out, that you have the numbers and the numbers look a little skewed, right? But they look a little skewed. First of all, the fee is
$300. $300.
The fine, which is really poor people's taxation.
That's exactly what it is.
We want to come back to this on another show where we can really talk about the Ferguson effect that's taking place in other cities. Ferguson did a couple of things. It obviously revealed the egregious behavior of the police department by killing Mike Brown. And that's a whole other story we can talk about, hopefully on the next show, because I want to talk about the fines and fees that are truly attached to poor people, because that's who's usually caught up in the system. So if you go to the courthouse on any given day, you're talking about people who are working either minimum wage jobs, they're driving with the suspended license, they're probable cause on marijuana, they got stopped and they smell it, so then they got a marijuana ticket. But it's the fines and fees that drive the system on municipal and courts. And so as a former county board member, each and every time they attempted to raise the fees at the courthouse, I voted no for that, simply because it is taxation. It is taxation of the poor, and it is not spread out, even though we pretend that it is. It is not spread out like it is on a motor fuel tax, for instance. Every time you pull up to the gas station, you pump gas, and all of us, regardless to who you are, where you come from, or how much money you make, a portion of that fee, which is the tax of motor fuel, goes to that municipality to help maintain the roads. Well, in the case of fines and fees at courthouses, that is a very small group based on who is brought through that system, who is carrying the brunt of the budget requirements of a courthouse on fines and fees. And some departments wholly depend on fines and fees. And so the Department of Justice released a recent report on how fines and fees at the municipal level are not only targeting people of color, but largely poor people in those communities. And so we want to share the Department of Justice report with our listeners. Possibly, I think we're on next Saturday too, aren't we?
That's right.
Yeah, we're covering next Saturday as well. So we'll bring that report on, and one of our local researchers will come on to really talk about that and the effect of fines and fees. So Alderman Ammons, who happens to be my alderman, I really think he's doing a great job. You're doing a great job, Alderman
Ammons.
Thank
you very much. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your dogged determination to represent the interests of your constituents and primarily people with limited resources in the city of Urbana. And one of these things came about, and let me just do a disclaimer that neither myself or Brother Aaron smokes anything. Mm-hmm. We believe our lungs should be clean with oxygen and air, and so we don't smoke anything. So it's not a self-
now, I used to. I just want to be clear.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure.
And Sister Carol never smoked anything. But in full disclosure, his interest is not, you know, like some people have a selfish interest around these marijuana laws. But in this case, it is a legitimate legislative issue. The city of Urbana should not build any of its budget on charging fines, in this case, the marijuana fee, at an extraordinary amount. It's not a small amount. It's not a small, you know, ticket kind of thing. This is $300.
$300.
And that's just the fine of the actual marijuana ticket. You also get the court fines and fees if you have to go to court. That's another $125, and it could go on from there. So your work around trying to reduce this fee has a long-term implication, but it also has implications for the future legislation that will come out of the state of Illinois to get rid of this altogether. Yeah. I have legislation. Representative Lou Lang has legislation. Hopefully we'll combine these things and get our either current or new governor. Hoping for the new governor part.
Look, there's a tremendous amount of education that has to go on around this, right? So as you spoke of the legislation that doesn't have the traction at this particular point, right? You know, some 30 votes in possibly to support the legislation that you have, which is really important. Why it's so important, Yemi, and for the listeners out there to understand that this is why your vote is just the beginning of your commitment to the person that you have voted to elect, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the time and energy that has to be spent negotiating, lobbying, trying to get legislation passed, there's no way that the elected official alone can do that, right? So I'm experiencing here, as we deal with racial profiling and the traffic stop data, it's people like Durrell Cruz and a Martell or somebody else who's pushing on this issue even when the representative is not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Definitely. To bring information to other council members, to other state reps, and to their own representative so that everybody is educated about the issue. There's a misnomer, a terrible disservice that we do to democracy to think that once I vote for this person,
they'll take
that's
care
it.
Of-
They're no. going to take care of everything right, else. Right. That is absolutely absurd for us to come to that conclusion, right?
Yeah.
So this is a commitment. This is an ongoing thing that as a citizen, you are duty bound. And even when you're not, if you live here, if you're not, quote unquote, a citizen, you have a responsibility to help bring information to educate the individuals who represent you. Otherwise, you have people who are miseducated or don't have all the information trying to bring forth some sort of policy or change that's not going to adequately represent you. So I'm trying my best to educate myself further. I've been involved in this war on drugs for over a decade, have some tremendous mentors like Cliff Thornton and Neil Franklin from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And we have some people here locally who have really sunk their teeth into this. But teasing out this information and its impact, you know, I look at the economic component of this. In 2010, African Americans spent $8,400 on these fines. Now, whether or not they paid them all or not, I'm just saying that that's what the total cost is.
Yeah.
And over that 6-year period, you're looking at $59,440 that was taken out of the community basically for a marijuana ordinance
ticket.
Wow. So that's why my proposal is that for it be $5. Now, I've got some votes at $5 and I'm still working on it. But the fine is exorbitant. It's unnecessary for it to be $300, and we're working on lowering that. But at the end of the day, what Representative Ammons just said is that it's still a tax. That's what it boils down to.
It's
another tax on poor people and particularly on people of color, because it's going to, as all the numbers show, that African Americans are being ticketed more than anybody else. So it has a disparate impact on African Americans. And even when you look at the charges, there are more state charges than city ordinances. And the state charges, if these numbers are, if the ordinance violation is heavily geared or leaning towards African Americans, then it is certainly logical to conclude that the state charges are going to be skewed towards African Americans. So you still have the sort of quote unquote minority population being burdened with these exorbitant fines and fees and being saddled with these charges, whether they're misdemeanors or felonies at the state level.
I wonder, and I know you're going to continue to work on the data to break it down further to understand, you know, how the determination is made as to who gets a ticket and who gets arrested or get a more serious charge, right? Who determines the local versus the state and why and what factors? I know you've asked for that, and you'll continue to press on that issue. So that's something that'll help reveal the picture a little bit better. I also want to suggest to people that this is inevitable. We will get rid of the criminalization of people's decisions to smoke marijuana. Now, I don't advocate for it. I don't smoke anything. But their decision to smoke should not be criminalized, and certainly people should not sit in the state Department of Correction over marijuana possession or distribution. And if you look at the Department of Correction numbers, you'll see largely that a lot of people are sitting there for drug-related offenses, which costs us a tremendous amount of money. And I think it's something we looked at yesterday, like $72 billion.
Across the country.
Across the country.
$72 billion
just on drug-related.
To fight the drug war. Mm-hmm. $72 billion. What Bernie Sanders planned to bring free education to all universities and public colleges, he said, was $70 billion. So as Danielle Chenoweth always says, show me your budget so I can see your priorities.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see who we got here. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Okay. I just want to make a comment about the drug, legalizing marijuana. My name is Michael Hill. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, Brother Mike. How are you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't want to, well, for one, you know, I don't think they should legalize it. I mean, I know this is a drug that most people use. And if we look back on the prohibition on alcohol itself, we see that what alcohol is doing to society after prohibition. You see that there's a lot more homicides, a lot of people driving impaired. And if you legalize marijuana, you're going to be seeing the same thing.
Well, Brother Michael, let me just say quickly that because we only have a couple seconds here, that the actual it's difficult to find the statistics on how many people were driving impaired for prohibition and how many murders actually took place. But I think across the country and across the studies that I certainly have seen and other police departments have done themselves, that the violence associated with prohibition, the murder rate associated with prohibition, whether it's Al Capone and all those different folks, is far higher than any murder rate that alcohol is as for individuals killing each other that alcohol is responsible for at this time. And I do appreciate your point, your broader point about the society and the impact that, you know, drugs or alcohol may have on the society. But, you know, we're also looking at that from my perspective. If you have the legalization, and because you have the legalization of nicotine, of tobacco, I mean, right, and you have the legalization of alcohol and things like that, then it's not consistent to criminalize people then for the use of marijuana. Right. Or any other particular drug that people use their human right to choose to use a particular drug. And listen, we only got a couple minutes, but I tell you what, we can get deeper into this conversation the next time. I'll be back on next Saturday. Go ahead.
I just like to make a quick comment. I mean, you know,
Well, we'll just talk about it some other time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just call me back next Saturday, man. I'll be back on from 8 to 10 next Saturday as well.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, brother. Yeah, I love it. People always call in the last 2 minutes of the show. Right? Yeah. I can't really engage them like I would want to. You know, Jimmy, I would ask you a question just, yeah. You know, as a young man who's still in school and stuff. Deal with percentages right quick. So let's just, we got the number 100.
Oh, yeah.
And if you are 75% of that 100, if you got 75 people out of 100, you have what percent?
20, wait.
If you have 75, then you are what percentage of 100?
75%.
75. Yeah. And then the other, whoever else, and let's say I got 25, then I'm 25%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay.
So right now, African Americans in Champaign County make up roughly, if you do with the driving population,
20%.
Less than 20. Let's just say 17. Yeah. Let's just say 20 to make it easy for people.
Yeah, 20. All right. Okay.
And the white population is somewhere around,
I would say at least 60.
Oh, it's more than that. It's probably 70. You think? Let's just give them 70. All right. So let's say African Americans is 20 and the white population is 70 and Latino and others make up another 10. Yeah. So there's our 100. So then if you looked at any particular statistic based upon demographics, then it should be 70 white, 20 African American, 10 other.
At least in the disparity.
Right. Okay. All right. So 70, right? So here's the numbers over the last 6 years for Urbana cannabis ordinance arrest, right? Possession of cannabis arrest. Over the last 6 years, African Americans are 198. Hispanic, 3. Asian, Pacific Islander, 8. White, 127. So we just said that the other population, if we're just talking about, we're just trying to just do a quick scenario here. The other population should have been around 10. That was the Latino, Asian, right? Pacific Islander. Okay. And so they're at 11.
All right.
That doesn't total.
Add, that doesn't
that's
up.
Not bad, right?
That's not
right.
bad, though.
Out of that. So now white is at 127 and black is at 198. So. So this, see, I'm not a statistician, but what I know that my group, the 20% group, is not supposed to be.
We're leading
71 people higher than the highest group.
And then how many of those got got citations and how many of them got state charges?
Exactly. So you have to pull all that out. So it's what we're saying is that. So now something has to explain that. And the response from the department, the police department, is,